Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good afternoon. This is Nick Augustine here with Attorney Joseph Roble from Joseph Roble Limited, the Chicago bankruptcy law firm. This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Update featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are stressful, but bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you're considering filing a bankruptcy, Joseph Roble will courteously and professionally review your finances, answer all your questions, and provide the information you need to allow yourself to decide if bankruptcy makes sense, if it has value, and if it is the best way to provide financial relief from your financial woes. For a library of information about Chicago Bankruptcy Law Firm of Joseph Roble Limited, please visit chicagobankruptcy.com. Note that there's a search box feature on that website. You can search just about any question and find a path to great answers. Today is the day four Chicago Bankruptcy Q&A podcast for October 2018, and a few of the topics we'll cover today are the following. Hit Parade starts with, if I file for the bankruptcy, will the funds levied in my banker account be released? Another person wants to know, will my roommate's items be liquidated if I file for bankruptcy? Another question we have, how can I retrieve my forfeited house after a property tax foreclosure? Another person asks, how long does the bank have to pick up a vehicle if I stop making payments? Another good question, can the bank short sell a house after the owner declares bankruptcy? And can a bank refuse to sign a release of lien demanding payment in full? And what about income tax? Can I eliminate that in Chapter 7 bankruptcy? These are real questions from real people, and Joseph Roble is a real bankruptcy lawyer giving real answers to the best of his abilities. He's been a practicing attorney since 1973 and has experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and their families. He presently concentrates in practice in consumer bankruptcy, where Mr. Roble helps people get out of debt and a fresh financial start. He's an active member in several bar associations and on the bankruptcy panel of the pro bono program of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Joe Roble earned his BA in psychology from Northwestern University, and in 1973, he earned his Juris Doctorate from DePaul University School of Law. He's also a U.S. Army Reserve 363rd Affairs Civil Unit. This is a general information program. Please be advised that advice on this show does not give rise to being legal advice. If you want legal advice, you got to call Joe Roble. The telephone number is 312-781-0996. So go write that down again. A bankruptcy lawyer, put it in your phone. 312-781-0996. All right, Joe, I am ready to talk about all sorts of wonderful financial situations. But first, I want to spring a question on you. How? Yeah. So right now there's a lot of people. The economies go up and down. So right now the economy appears to be doing well, and a lot of people that I've talked to are taking advantage of some bankruptcy options to do financial planning and, you know, make more money and get rid of some bad debts using Chapter 13. So right off the bat, how is bankruptcy a good financial planning tool?
I'm not sure if planning is the right word for it. It's a financial
restructuring
tool.
Maybe is a better.
Okay, so if you're talking about specifically Chapter 13, it allows you to restructure your debt the same as gigantic corporations can do. For example, General Motors, when we had our recession in 08-09, they got in hard times, and they wanted to keep the company operating, of course. There's a lot of money to be made, and there's a lot of people relying on them for jobs. So they filed a Chapter 11, which is a corporate Chapter 13. It restructured their debt. It allowed them to continue to operate the business, spread out their payments, perhaps reduce the payments depending on the creditor, and get themselves out of the hole. So an individual or a husband and wife can do the same thing in a Chapter 13. Some people, if they are looking at bankruptcy, they just cannot do a Chapter 7 because either their income is too high, and yes, there is such a thing. You can be making too much money because there's an income test for Chapter 7. Or they can't do Chapter 7 because they own something that a bankruptcy trustee would take. It's too valuable. It's worth too much money. So those are reasons for people to file a 13. And restructuring your debt, generally you can stop the interest. You pay simple interest to the trustee, non-compounded. You may be able to reduce your monthly payments, and you can pay everything off or pay a percentage off in 5 years or less. Gets the creditors off your back, lets you get on with your life, continue to live, do everything you're doing, the same idea as the giant corporations do.
So if you got really bad deals in the past, there's a way to maybe redo your deals.
Exactly, if you're paying like 28% interest on some credit cards, or you took an online loan with high interest. But let me mention one thing. What's interesting, because you're talking about the economy being good, and it's roaring right now. People are working, and wages are starting to go up. I guess good for me, but unfortunately for people, it oftentimes brings more bankruptcy filings because people wind up spending too much money when they have it. So it's an interesting dichotomy there.
It is. It's when we're rolling in it and don't have to look at the price tags, it's funny. You know, all of a sudden one thing happens, and then, you know, we look at our spending is out of control, and all of a sudden we're high in debt. So it's lots of challenges out there. All right, well, I appreciate the response to that question because, you know, I've heard of it more and more and seen more and more people trying to get better deals with things and, you know, renegotiate some of those high-interest accounts. So moving on to our questions, my first question for the day. The guy wants to know, or girl, gal, whoever, if I file for bankruptcy, will funds be levied in my bank account? Will they be released? It says that a judgment was placed against me. They're jointly responsible, and my account was frozen. I have recently lost my jobs and have multiple debts. The money in my account is the last funds that I have. Bankruptcy going to help?
Yes. The funds can be released, but like with so many questions, the answer often is it depends. And here it'll depend on the state in which this person resides. So in Illinois, if on the day that the garnishment hit the account and froze the account, if there was less than $4,000 in there, then with the filing of the bankruptcy, that money would be released. Sometimes it requires a court order, but that's exempt. An exemption means that you're entitled to keep certain assets or certain dollar amounts when you file a bankruptcy. If this person had $6,000 in the account on the day it was frozen and then files bankruptcy, the creditor will be allowed to get that excess over $4,000. Something else, too, about a garnishment on a bank account. Sometimes people really don't need a bankruptcy. They've got one creditor, and this one creditor froze their account. You can get a court order in the state court to unfreeze the account if the amount frozen is less than that exemption amount. And again, that'll vary from state to state to state. Even though bankruptcy is a federal law, certain things vary from state to state, and exemptions are one of them.
All right. Good information there. Next question is about roommates. One roommate looks at bankruptcy, wonder if the other one's going to be affected. Says, I live with a friend of mine and I rent a room. I'm planning to file bankruptcy. I fell into some loans and bad credit cards. I was unemployed as well, and I'm wondering if my roommate's property may be affected by my bankruptcy.
As long as everything that the roommate owns is owned solely by the roommate and not jointly with the roommate and this person, then there has absolutely no effect on the roommate. The fact that they live together has no bearing on any assets of the roommate. will not be affected by the bankruptcy at all. It's an understandable question. All these things come up, questions of this nature, all the time, because people are always wondering, if I file bankruptcy, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? And it's always nice to know this going in before you file.
Well, and it's something that, you know, you can – I know that some bill collectors are unscrupulous and may say who knows what to try to scare people, and there's lots of scams out there. So it's important not to listen to scammers and get the right information directly. My next question is about how can I retrieve my forfeited house? My house was foreclosed on and forfeited due to property taxes. Is there any way for me to retrieve the property?
As with a lot of these questions, there's some details that are missing, and of course, I can't expect people to provide every single thing that I need in such a situation. So, if the foreclosure was completed, meaning that a judgment was entered against the property and against the homeowner for the amount of the mortgage, and if the property was sold through the foreclosure court, the only way to get back the property is to buy it from the current owner. So what happened at the sale in foreclosure court, anyone in the world could show up and bid, you have to bid at least the amount of the mortgage, and then they become the owner. And if no one makes a bid, or if the bid isn't high enough, the mortgage company becomes the owner. Then the mortgage company will hire a realtor and put it on the market. So the current, if it's been foreclosed, if it's been sold, it's now either owned by a third party, or more likely it's listed with a realtor, it's on and being sold by the bank, and the homeowner can make an offer on the property just like any other real estate transaction. If there's a foreclosure going on and it hasn't been completed, and if property taxes were forfeited, there's a period of time to redeem those taxes, pay them so that you can retain ownership of the property. The forfeiture and property taxes can be quite complicated and vary a great deal from state to state. What would happen here is if there's a redemption time still open where the homeowner can still pay the back taxes plus the interest rate in Illinois, it's 18%, they can redeem the property from a tax sale, have the taxes caught up. But if there's a foreclosure going on, I'm not sure you would want to do that unless you've got the money to pay the past due mortgage, or you can file a Chapter 13 to pay that past due mortgage. But mm-hmm. What it sounds like from the question, the property is gone, it's been sold, and the homeowner, the only way to get that property back is to buy it from whoever owns it now.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of questions that people have in a lot of situations, and I also think that sometimes it might be a relative. There's just so many things that are going on. The bankruptcy laws, as you've been explaining them when we do in these shows, they're rather complicated, and some of these procedures involved in the documentation that's required can be overwhelming, especially if you're not a bankruptcy lawyer yourself. So, for people listening, Joseph Roble has over 40 years experiencing representing clients in consumer bankruptcy, and that experience ensures that your financial situation will be properly analyzed, because again, so much of this is specific and fact-driven. Joseph Roble and his staff understand that you're probably anxious about your financial problems, tired of harassment by creditors, and are uncertain as to whether filing a bankruptcy is really what you need. Well, if bankruptcy will help your financial situation, you'll be properly advised for which chapter you may qualify. At Joseph Roble Limited, the entire procedure will be explained from beginning to end, and you will receive the What to Do Next letter that tells you what documents you need to provide. That you will be told everything that's going to be happened from start to finish. And also, if you don't need to file and it doesn't make sense, they're going to tell you that. Joseph Robo Limited is not there to put you into bankruptcy simply to earn a fee. Joseph Robo Limited is a small law firm of attorneys and staff who are experienced in consumer bankruptcy, and it is not a big bankruptcy law factory. You're not going to get lost in their office. You will, however, be treated as a human being with the courtesy, dignity, and respect you deserve. Again, the mission at Joseph Robo Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of bankruptcy laws. The offices are located all over the Chicagoland area, so whether you're in the Chicago Loop or Chicago Rosemont area, or in the suburbs in Burr Ridge, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester, Joseph Robo Limited can help you out anywhere in Illinois, Cook County, and the surrounding collar counties of Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, and Lake. Do remember to go to the website for more information at chicagobankruptcy.com. Back to our shows and questions. Our next question is about a vehicle. Looks like we have someone who has been not making their payments since over a year ago. They have a vehicle. They're wondering how long it's going to take for the bank to get it. It's been sitting on their property for over a year. It's not running and there's no payments. The bank knows all about it. They've called them to come get it. They filed for bankruptcy. And as well as finalized, the bankruptcy is done. They've got no letters or phone calls about the vehicle. Haven't attempted to collect the vehicle. How long do they have? Is it considered abandoned? What do they do? You know, they've done everything with their bankruptcy, and here they're stuck with this vehicle.
So, in this situation, I will bet you that this car is older, high mileage, not good condition. Because my experience has been when a lender doesn't pick up a car or it's sitting for such a long time, they've decided it's not even worth the effort for them to pick up that car. So that's good and bad. This person now has a vehicle they can drive. They can't really get the title. They can't really sell it. If the car is drivable, drive it, use it. When you're done, bring it over to a junkyard. They may pay you for parts, and they may be able to get title from the state.
So they're not going to be able to sell it, but they can keep insurance on it and registration?
It's their car. It's still their car. The lender always has the right to repossess, but it's been a year. It's never going to happen.
What does this tell us? Maybe if you're worried about a bankruptcy or losing your car, maybe you should get one at one of those buy here, pay here lots, you know, that's not worth as much and they're not going to come get it. It's interesting. Also, you know, the amount we think about, the amount and expense of people getting sued, you know, when people threaten to sue each other over small amounts of money, you know, it costs money and effort to sue. It's not just a free right. We don't have like the, you know, free right to sue people or anything, you know, so it's a matter of balancing financial interests like anything else.
Yeah, but the other thing is you can't count on this happening. You know, when you file a bankruptcy and you have a car financed and you're not going to keep it, you know, you go into the bankruptcy thinking, okay, I'm going to lose my car. It does happen like this occasionally, but normally it may be on a car that maybe you don't even want it anymore. So.
Right, exactly. Very interesting. All right, here's the next question about paychecks. We like our paychecks. The person wants to know, can I file for bankruptcy without my paycheck being affected? I have no assets and barely enough money to pay my bills. I have a baby and live with my parents. I'm trying to start over. Is my employer going to know that I filed for bankruptcy, and will my paychecks be affected by this?
Employer won't know. There's no effect on paychecks. The creditors in the bankruptcy get a notice, and that's about it. There's no reason to even tell your employer that you filed. The only time we will ever notify a debtor's employer is if there's a wage garnishment, and we need to stop it because the bankruptcy stops that. Otherwise, not a problem. This person need not worry. Everything will be fine with the job and with the paycheck.
Okay, good information for them. All right. Next person is worried about the short sale of a house after the owner and person who has a mortgage has declared bankruptcy. It says the owner accepted my short sale offer. sent it to the mortgage holder and the bank for its acceptance, and then the owner went and declared bankruptcy. So can the property still be sold as a short sale and give me clear title?
The short answer is yes, it can, as long as that foreclosure didn't complete and the title went to the bank, then this person would have to buy it directly from the bank. So the bankruptcy stops the foreclosure. The bankruptcy will wipe out the personal debt by the owner to the mortgage company, but the mortgage lien is still there. And there are times where it makes sense to try to sell your property. A short sale is simply a real estate sale where the amount that's paid to the mortgage is short. It's less than what they're owed, and the mortgage company, especially here, would accept it because they have no way to collect the rest of it from the homeowner. So this deal can still go through.
All right. Good to know. All right, we have next two questions coming up are related to one another. First question as follows. My mortgage was discharged in Chapter 7 bankruptcy, but I just received a summons for foreclosure, even though I don't live there. Do I need to respond? It states that if I owe the full mortgage amount with no mention of the discharge. Do I need to respond and say it was discharged? What happens here?
All right, so the debt, the mortgage debt, has two parts to it. When the loan was taken out, the homeowner signed a promissory note that said, I'm going to pay back this large sum of money you're lending me to buy the house. I'm going to make a monthly payment. You're charging me X dollars interest. And in 20, 25, 30 years, if I don't sell, I will have paid the mortgage off and I'll owe you nothing. So that's the note. With the note, there's an actual mortgage itself that's signed by the homeowner, and that mortgage is recorded against the property. That is a lien against the property. When the homeowner files Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the discharge that is received when the case is closed that eliminates the debt eliminates the obligation under the note. So the mortgage lender can never, ever, ever collect any money from the homeowner. But the mortgage itself, the lien survives the bankruptcy. That lien doesn't go away, and that gives the mortgage company the right to foreclose. When the foreclosure is filed, the language in the foreclosure will indicate all the money that's still due, but it's no longer due from the homeowner because it's discharged. The homeowner is named in the foreclosure because they must be. You must name all possible parties if you're a mortgage company suing. But the debtor who filed this bankruptcy need do nothing. They don't have to file an appearance. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to do anything that Chapter 7 protected them.
All right. So here's the follow-up question is, can the bank that discharged the debt from the second mortgage on a Chapter 7, can that bank refuse to sign a release of lien demanding full payment? So they filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy about 8 years ago, and it included a second mortgage on the house for debt on a credit card report that shows discharge, but when I went to refinance my house, the bank refused to sign a release of lien and wants payment in full to release the lien so I can refinance my personal residence. It's almost too late to do it because rates are rising. Can the bank legally do this?
The answer is yes, and it may sound like, oh, this is very, very unfair because I filed Chapter 7. But this relates back to the previous question. The debt, the personal debt is gone, the note was discharged, but the mortgage lien survives. So that lien right is still there. And you can't force the lender to release the lien. There's no legal way to do that. I've seen sometimes where a property is not worth it, where they will issue a release because they'll never collect any money. But when there is some equity or there's some way to get money, the lender is going to take this position. Hey, we got a lien. You want to refinance, pay us some money, or pay the whole thing off. it's totally legal. Maybe it doesn't sound fair, but it's completely proper. And again, it relates back to the fact that the debt, the mortgage debt, has that two parts to it. The personal debt is gone, but the lien survives. That's why they record liens against property. That's why a finance company has their name on your title. You don't have clear title until you pay off the car.
Right, exactly. You know, it's one of those things that all this mortgage stuff I get so confused with that. There's no way I would try to do my own bankruptcy. I would hire you, Joe. I hope I don't have to, but all right. So here's my next question. Next one is, someone says they moved back to Michigan with their parents 6 months ago. What proof do they need if they want to file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy here? It says, I've piled up debt in California, and I'm back in Michigan. What proof do I need that I've been living in Michigan for more than 91 days? I would like to file Chapter 7 here in Michigan. So what can they do?
So a bankruptcy generally is filed in the county in which you've lived the longest for the last 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you resided continuously for 91 days at a certain address, you can file there, even though a few months before that you were in a different state. And it says here it's been 6 months, so it's easy. Generally, the bankruptcy petition is signed under oath. So when you sign your petition and you show that this is your address, generally that's enough proof. When you go to a meeting with the trustee, they want to see a driver's license, Social Security card. So if there's any documentation needed, it's very simple. Just a driver's license or an insurance card or a utility bill just to show your residence. But it's not much of an issue.
Okay. All right. Next and final question for the day. This one wants to know about clearing out income tax debt in Chapter 7 bankruptcy. If I go into foreclosure and if the bank forgives a portion or all of the delinquency judgment amount, will this debt forgiveness amount become taxable income? If so, can I clear this tax debt when I file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy?
So the question said, can I clear income tax debt? It's not income tax debt. It's a tax debt. And what happens is after a property is sold in foreclosure, and then the usual course is the mortgage lender then hires a broker, house goes on the market, somebody buys it, moves in, the house is recycled, and usually the buyer is going to pay the value of the house, and the mortgage amount that was owed is higher than the value, so the mortgage company doesn't get all their money. They can't go after the previous homeowner because of Chapter 7, but they can send a notice to the IRS, issue a 1099 to their customer. If they lost $50,000, the bank, the mortgage company, gets a tax loss on that $50,000, and the former homeowner would have to pay income taxes on the loss of the mortgage lender because that's money that they didn't have to pay. That's a benefit to them. So you have to pay a tax on it. However, if you do Chapter 7, you never have to worry about paying that tax to the IRS on a deficiency that a mortgage company has.
There you go. Straight from the horse's mouth. So, concluding, there are all sorts of very interesting situations going on out there. And if you have any doubt whether you can get out of your debt, call Joseph Robo Limited at Chicago Bankruptcy. Telephone number 312-781-0996. Any other final tips of advice or words of wisdom or scams to avoid or anything consumer financial? Because, you know, we should let them know that a lot of the information that we put out is not just about declaring bankruptcy, but just general financial health.
ask questions, and there's an old saying, if it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Right. And don't listen to everything the credit, you know, collection people are just, I feel bad for those folks. I mean, that's got to be a horrible job to call and hound people.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, just as many times as people say the old, the check is in the mail, you know, it goes on both ends. You know, the people, the scams. I mean, there's all sorts of scams out there. Internet scams. My own mother was caught up in one of these where she clicked on something on Facebook. The next thing she knows, her computer, it says it's being hijacked. Call this number, pay $400 to get your virus. I said, Mom, the lady hung up on her. I said, Mom, why don't you just turn your computer off and turn it back on again? And guess what? The computer was just fine. So be savvy and help people out. You know what I mean? You know, the police are not going to come to your house and arrest you, you know, unless you do, you know. So call someone, ask questions, be informed. Again, ChicagoBankruptcy.com is a great website full of all sorts of information. Just go on there and use the search feature like you're searching in Google. You can just ask a basic question, and I'm sure that you can find content that we put there throughout the years that answers those questions and points you in the right direction. So, Joe, again, best way for people to contact you?
312-781-0996 or email josephrobel@chicagobankruptcy.com. Always happy to answer questions.
All right, very good. All right, well, we hope that everyone is financially sound with the holidays coming up. We'll talk about some of those things and, you know, look on the website, too, for tips on ways to save money and ways to be a financial genius, even if you are just getting started doing so. That's about all the time we have for today. We look forward to talking to you all next month. Joe, it's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.